This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Breaking it all down.
Come on, baby, let's get it.
From the war room.
Come out quick. Be smart.
To the gridiron.
Everybody's gonna eat.
This is NFL Pregame. With Jared Stillman.
Hey, left.
Former NFL GM Floyd Reese.
How good do you want to be?
And forever receiver Chris Sanders.
Brought to you by
Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Wholesale Inc. Powered by RumbleOn.com.
Oh, play one.
Live from Corner Pub, NFL Pregame starts now on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And the Tennessee Titans are undefeated and for the first time in almost a month are back on the field on a Sunday, and we are back at the Corner Pub downtown. Jared Stillman, former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, and former Titans general manager Floyd Reese is back in our wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Guys, we have to start. We have to open the floor up to Chris.
Yes.
To start today's show, Floyd, because we did not pick the Titans on Tuesday night against Buffalo. We were skeptical. In fact, I called for a Buffalo blowout. I almost got the score right. I just got the wrong team.
Yeah.
And so here we are, Chris Sanders. You never doubted your squad, the Titans, with the big victory, and now are sitting undefeated,
yes,
one of the last undefeateds left in the NFL.
I just thought the Tennessee Titans were a better team, and the reason why I say it is the Tennessee Titans have been going through a lot of adversity and going through a lot of things, and the Buffalo Bills haven't. And if you just look at their whole roster, I mean, I know they have Josh Allen. I know they got some great wide receivers, but they didn't have a running game. And I think that when you don't have a running game, all you're going to do is stop the pass and let the quarterback make mistakes. And that's exactly what happened. If you look at, I think it was last year when the Tennessee Titans played the Cleveland Browns, everybody knew that they had some great weapons on the outside, but they really didn't have a running game. So what did Dean Pease do? He kept everything in front. Made when the receivers would catch the ball, make the tackle, and let the quarterback make mistakes. And that's exactly what we saw. Josh Allen, I'm going to tell you, he's a dude. He can make some great plays, but he's prone to make mistakes when he's in trouble and he feels uncomfortable in the pocket.
Especially when throws the ball in the guy's hands, it pops up in the air right into the hands of Malcolm Butler,
yeah.
I'm sure. As a receiver, that's a little bit of a lonely feeling.
No doubt.
Floyd, 4-0 for the Tennessee Titans. First time since 2008. Your great Titan teams that Chris was a part of never started the season off 4-0.
Thanks.
Optimism, well, you guys went to the Super Bowl. Optimism is high right now, and the Houston Texans are struggling to start the season. How do we feel about the 4-0 start, given everything that the Titans have had to deal with in the last 20 days?
Well, I think that's probably part of the reason I'm concerned about this, because of what happened last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were, if you looked at the things that were going wrong for the Titans, you would say there's absolutely no way they can go out of here against a competitive team and win the game. There's just too many, you know, unable to practice, people on the COVID list, people that are hurt. I mean, just everything done by video. I mean, you just can't play football that way. On the other hand, with Buffalo, things were pretty good. They were able to practice. They were able to do their things, had no COVID scares. And I think I look at this game in a similar fashion. You know, you look at Houston, you say, Houston's got, what do they got? You know, they're 1-4. I mean, they're not doing well. If they lose this game, they're probably going to be done. You know, what are the chances of beating a team that is 4-0 and played as well as they did last week and you know, are back healthy and getting almost everybody off the COVID list. I mean, I look at those two games, those two scenarios, I see a lot of similarities.
You know, and just looking at the Texan game that's coming up today, and I was listening to their past interviews with J.J. Watt and some of the players, they got some energy now. I mean, and I'm not disrespecting the head coach or anything, O'Brien, but I think O'Brien – was like the Grinch that stole Christmas. He just made everybody around him mad and didn't want to play football. Then now you got Romeo that's coming in bringing energy, and just come to find out after they beat the Jags, he's in there dancing at halftime. So this team has a lot of energy. Even though they're 1-4, they're coming in here desperate. They're coming here needing a win. And I agree with you, Floyd, 100,025% that this is not going to be a cakewalk by the Tennessee Titans.
I think I go back to when you guys were with the Titans, and you guys stacked a lot of wins throughout the course of the year. I mean, you don't go 13-3 2 years in a row without stacking a bunch of wins. And there were teams that you would play like this Texan team, and maybe at the time it was the Bengals or the Steelers or teams that were a little bit down. And I remember, though, the thing about those games were that the Titans always won. Mm-hmm. But those were some close games now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think there was a game in the 2000 season. You guys are the best team in the league. You beat the Steelers 9-7 on a field goal at the end of the game. The Steelers didn't even come close to sniffing the playoffs that year. And I look at this team, and I almost feel like, Chris,
yes,
that this is how these games are going to go, too. If this Titans team is truly a legit team, if they're as good as we think they are, then I think we're going to see them win these kind of games. But it's going to be uglier than people think simply because that's the nature of how this team's going
to
win.
You have to respect your opponent. I mean, you can't go in here and say, yeah, we beat the Buffalo Bills and we beat some good teams and just expect that the Texans are going to kind of come in here and lay down. Because if you look at every game that the Tennessee Titans played as opposed to last year, the last game, every game has been competitive. I mean, they have some danger. They have some dangerous players now. I mean, they got Deshaun Watson, they got Cook, they got Fuller, they got Cobb, they got the running back, Johnson. So this is not a team that's a slouch. They just been playing some bad football. And if they get a chance to – it clicks – then all of a sudden the Tennessee Titans are going to be in a world of trouble if they don't come out and play the kind of football that they're capable of playing.
Floyd, what do you – I'm sorry to cut you off, Floyd, but what do you remember about kind of the way that the maturity of the team back then allowed you guys to win games like this today?
Yeah, I mean, I think you see the maturity not only with that team, but literally however many teams you want to talk about just from yesterday. You know, let's look at what happened at Tennessee. I mean, they get blown. Let's look at what happened to North Carolina and Florida State. You know, North Carolina, number 5 team in the country, get blown out. I mean, you know, you go through and you look at these teams and you say, North Carolina is a really good team. They're coming back. You know, they are on their way back to, well, maybe not so fast. You know, they had a couple good games. Things went well. Maybe they're not to that level. Tennessee, same thing. Had some good wins, things are going well, but maybe they're not quite to that level. On the other hand, you look at Clemson, what they did. You look at Alabama, what they did. You can look at those teams and you can say, okay, now those are mature teams. Those are teams that winning is part of their DNA, and they're going to go out and find a way, whether it's by a little or a lot, but they're going to find a way to win. And I think the question for this Titans team is, where are they, you know, on that scale? Are they to the point where you can go out and find a way to win? May not be pretty. May be 1 point, may be 20 points. But do you win? The only thing that matters. And if you can't do that, then you're probably not at that level yet.
And Floyd, I agree with you 100%. I think Mike Vrabel's not going to allow them to get complacent. I mean, just listening to his talk during the week, I mean, he's paying attention to details and he's making sure his players do the right thing. And that's very, very important, because if they come in here saying, well, we beat Buffalo Bills, we beat some good teams, but come here and don't play well, you're going to look up, it's going to be 25-0. So I think that Mike Vrabel's going to really prepare these guys like he did all week, like this is their next opponent, because there is their next opponent. You can't focus on next week. You can't focus on the AFC South. You got to focus on this week. And I think that's exactly what Mike Vrabel is doing.
Do you guys think the Titans are for real?
Yes.
Why?
Because they're a mature team. And when you have a mature team, they're finding ways to win. And another thing that I love about this Tennessee Titans team is they're not succumbing to the excuses. I mean, Floyd talked about it early. He said 12 starters out on COVID, unable to use a facility for 13 days, unable to practice for 2 weeks, Zoom meetings only. All a recipe to make a lot of excuses. And when you have a team that doesn't make excuses to say, you know what, our job is to make plays. Our job is to do our job individually, but collectively come out there and win games. Now you have a recipe for success.
Floyd, same question.
You know, I hope Chris is right. I really do,
Floyd.
Because that's going to be a good sign. I think I'm still wondering, and I'm wondering from this standpoint. like getting ready for last week, like Houston getting ready for today, easy. If you're a coach, that's an easy job. You know, you're downplay. You, nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. I'm going to eat some worms, you know, kind of thing. I mean, it's you go out there and you've got everything to gain, nothing to lose. And play accordingly, which was good. Now, what happens when the shoe's on the other foot? You've got nothing to gain, although you do have something to gain, but little to gain and an awful lot to lose. Can you lift yourself above that level, look at this team, like Chris says, and say, okay, we need to go out. We need to beat this team handily. You know, get yourselves ready. Can each and every one of us do that? Can we get ourselves to that point?
And the reason why I say this is a championship team, Jared, is because the mentality is different. I mean, if you look at a couple of years ago, and this is no disrespect to Mariota, when it came down to clutch time, we were unsure if he was going to make the pass, unsure if he was going to make the play. But it's all of a sudden, it's like, okay, it's 3rd and 10. You know Tannehill's going to do something to make the play. And I think that's the difference. It's the mentality of the quarterback position. It's the mentality of the offensive line. And also, it's the mentality of the receivers. They're just going out there making plays when their number is called. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I just think if they keep playing consistent football on all phases of the game, I think the Tennessee Titans will be all right.
There seems to be something special about this football team. And I would say on the maturity front, Floyd, we go back to a couple of years ago, the Titans beat the Eagles, and Taylor Lewan came out after the game and said, you know, the national media never talks about us. We didn't hear any celebrating about the Buffalo game after the Buffalo game was over. And I wonder if that is the mentality of this team led by Tannehill, that's the way that they're going to approach games. And that would make me hope, Floyd, that maybe a letdown is not in order for today.
And that would be a key element in that. You know, I mean, if in fact they can look at it and understand where the other team is, understand where you are, understand what you have to get done. And not necessarily maybe what you want to get done or not necessarily what somebody else tells you you think you need to get done. But you can isolate on your job, go out there and get it done. Then I would agree with you. Then I think that, you know, this team is probably mature enough to move on. Because we're not, you know, after this, I mean, the hard part about something like this, when you play a team like Buffalo, then you know, here's a undefeated team. Then a team that can barely win, and then another undefeated team. Well, that team that can barely win, you're kind of skating right over the top of that one. You know, you're going from Buffalo to Pittsburgh. You're saying, okay, now if we can be 5-0 when we get to Pittsburgh, and as soon as you start doing that stuff, you start digging the hole. And I think that's a little bit of a concern for me.
And with this team, we always say this thing in coaching, a team is a reflection of their coach. And when I say the reflection of the coach, you have the same DNA as your coach. If your coach pays attention to details, your players are going to pay attention to details. If the players are doing the right thing, I mean, if the coach is doing the right thing, their players are going to do the right thing. So I don't think Mike Vrabel is going to say, okay, we're going against the Texans. They're 1-4. We don't have to play. He's going to pay attention to details as this was a Super Bowl contender.
By the way, we've got the Titans on deck. The COVID problem seems to be in the rearview mirror. Knock on wood, hopefully for the Titans. It's not in Jacksonville. Floyd, Adam Schefter just tweeted this out, and I have to get your special teams coach reaction to this. Jacksonville's kicker today, John Brown, has never attempted a field goal in a game ever. That includes college. A former soccer player, Brown was a kickoff specialist who spent time with the Bengals, but has never attempted an in-game field goal, and he is the 5th kicker the Jags have used this season.
Dang.
4th and 16, we're going for it. We're going for it. I know. Get the offense out there, man. Oh, what a mess.
Luckily for Floyd, his kicker, Steven Goskowski, continues to play well. That we will get to the 4 downs coming up next. The 4 biggest storylines from today's game. We are live from the Corner Pub downtown prior to Titans and Texans. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5, The Game. And we are back on the pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown. It is Titans and Texans today. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
Floyd Reese with us. And the Tennessee Titans are starting to get some of the national love.
Uh-oh.
And you know what? You know how you'll lose all the national love in one day?
If you lose today.
If you lose to the Houston Texans. That takes us to the four big stories of today's Game 4 Downs presented by your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, Kubota Tractors. And, of course, we start at first down.
First down.
Ryan Tannehill just keeps winning. 11-3 is the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. Four touchdowns on Tuesday night. He was the talk of the country, and this football team has now had him as the starting quarterback for almost one calendar year. His first start was October 20th of last year. The day they made the move was October 13th, which was 1 year ago Tuesday. So Floyd Reese, the last year, Ryan Tannehill has been the quarterback of the Titans, and they do not look like the same team with him there.
Right. I mean, I think you know, we really saw that from the first game Ryan played. I mean, he was different. And I don't know, and I've said this many times, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody step into a situation and have a more marketed change in what you saw with the football team, not with a specific guy, not with the receivers, but with everyone. And what he brought, whatever that was something that was really special. And everybody bought into it. Everybody liked it. You could see everybody responded to it, whether they were on offense or defense or special teams. And I don't know that I've ever seen anybody have that dramatic an effect on a team instantly, literally from one game on.
You know, just looking at the whole game and just watching him throw the football, make accurate throws, is just like you said, Floyd, everybody's feeding off his energy and passion. I mean, look at when he makes that touchdown, when he tries to do a Michael Jordan move or whatever and almost tears his knee up. And everybody was surrounding him and congratulating him. That just shows you he's leading his team in the right way. And the one thing I love about him also, Floyd, is he's making right decisions. I mean, he's protecting the football. He's not throwing any interceptions. He's got one on the year. So he's just playing at a high, high level. And I agree with you, Floyd, man. I've never seen a situation where a guy comes in and just does outstanding from day one. So, you know, the Tennessee Titans got a jewel in getting this guy. So I think he's going to be definitely a plus for this team.
Do you see any McNair in Ryan Tannehill?
Two different players.
But in terms of leadership and the way that they galvanize a team, kind of thing?
Yeah, they don't. I mean, in that aspect, yes. I mean, because everybody thinks that Steve McNair was a rah-rah guy. No, Steve McNair was asleep before the game. I mean, he's asleep before the game. He's not a guy that's not going to talk. He's going to lead by example. In that aspect, I think Ryan Tannehill is basically leading by example by just making plays. When you just make plays and do your job and get the crowd and the players energized, then that makes the recipe for a great leader.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I mean, I think the leadership qualities, although different, were there. And there was no doubt, and I haven't been around Ryan that often. I was around him when he was younger, but not recently. But with Steve, you only had to be around Steve to know, like Chris said, he's not, you know, he's not going to jump up on a table and give you some kind of dance. But when you saw him in the locker room, you saw him around the guys, you saw the way the guys treated him, you knew there was something about him. You know, he had the... And you hear it all the time, the it factor.
Yes.
And I think Ryan has that same it factor. Although it may look completely different, the two guys look completely different. You know, maybe the way they play is not very similar. But when it comes to that one characteristic, I think they're probably pretty close.
And Floyd, Ryan Tannehill and Steve McNair, when the game's on the line, they had that look. That look of, I don't care what's going on. I don't care if it's 3rd and 55. I'm going to figure out a way to make the play. And when Steve McNair got in the huddle, I just got done running 4-9 routes. I'm tired. And he's looking at me like, I need you. He didn't have to say a word. He would give me that look like, Chris, if it's 3rd and 15, I need you to be there. Derek Mason, if it's 3rd and 12, I need you to get 13 yards. Eddie George, if it's 4th and 5, you got to run through by somebody's face, I'm giving you the look that I expect you to be there. And that's exactly what Tannehill's doing. He's just saying, I'm stepping in the huddle. I'm leading this charge. I'm throwing the ball. I'm handing the ball off. I expect you to do your job, and that's exactly what they're doing.
You know, what's interesting is I have been around. I've been fortunate enough to be around some pretty good quarterbacks along the line, and there are a couple of them that I used to tell our coaches, and I really, really believed. When it got really, really tight, and maybe we weren't playing the best ever, you could look at their face.
Yes.
And you knew you were in trouble. You know, it wasn't, and I can't describe it. It wasn't, you know, not tears. It wasn't fear. It was just like, oh, my God, I can't get us out of this kind of a thing. And I can remember seeing that on two of those guys on their faces, and I can remember telling other guys saying, man, we're in real trouble here. Never, ever did I ever see that look on Steve's face. And to date, I haven't. Of course, I haven't had as many good looks at Ryan, but I haven't seen that look on Ryan's face. So, you know, that look thing, I think, maybe carries a lot of weight.
That takes us to second down. Second down. The other quarterback, Deshaun Watson, making a lot of money, Chris Sanders.
Yes,
but
sir.
Without DeAndre Hopkins, he's not making as many plays. They did win last week, though. The first week with Romeo Crennel's coach, they beat Jacksonville. Watson 25 of 35 for 359, three touchdowns, two sacks. Watson simply not having the success that we've seen him in the past. Nine touchdowns, but five interceptions.
Yeah.
And his QBR is 62.4, 19th in the league. What do we think of Deshaun Watson, Floyd Reese?
Well, I don't think Deshaun has changed a lot. And obviously he's their guy. And they like what they see. I mean, let's face it, Hopkins, and he had that special bond, whatever it was. And he knew whenever he was in trouble what he needed to do, and Hopkins knew what he needed to do. Now, Hopkins wasn't a great deep threat. You know, he wasn't going to run past everybody. But he was going to find a way to get open. He was going to catch the ball. He was going to keep moving the chains. I think now with this group of guys, generally speaking, this group of guys, they're more speed guys. They're more down-the-field guys. And I think, consequently, what they're doing and how he's doing it is a little bit different. And I'm not sure they've gotten on the same plane yet. Now, last week, I think Cook caught, you know, like 170 yards worth of passes. I mean, he went off. And really, against us, still, I mean, all of these guys have taken a shot at us and have played games against us where they've gone off for two or three touches. So we have to do, I mean, my game plan against Deshaun wouldn't have changed from the first time I saw him play, which is force him to stay in the pocket, force him to throw from the pocket, force him to read the coverages, force him to put the ball in a good place downfield. Because if he gets out and starts running around, gets on the perimeter, you know, jukes everybody in the pocket and gets open, I mean, it's trouble because he will find one of those receivers.
Clowney, Landry, Daquan, Evans, and Evans and those guys, they better get their track shoes on. I'm telling you, you better get ready. Because the one thing that Deshaun Watson does well is he extends the play. You know, I know he's thrown five interceptions and hasn't been playing well, but every time he plays against the Tennessee Titans, he has a big game. So those guys are going to really have to stay home. And really, just like what Floyd said, we got to keep him in the pocket. And the times that he makes mistakes is when the Tennessee Titans gets him off his spot. When I say get him off his spot to where he has to make an extra step to try to throw the ball, and that's exactly when he throws the interception. So I think the Tennessee Titans should really make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket, make him think that something's open when there's nothing there, and I think the Tennessee Titans will be all right.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
Third down, the Houston Texans have fired Coach Bill O'Brien after an 0-4 start. They did win last week against Jacksonville, but, well, quite frankly, beating Jacksonville isn't much to write home about. Bill O'Brien won a bunch of division titles in Houston. Never really felt like he got him over the hump. Never really felt like he was a good fit running the football operations of that team. They've put in the very affable veteran Romeo Crennel as interim coach. Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
How much of a fear is that after getting their first win, after changing coaches, that Romeo might be the answer today for the Texans.
And that's exactly what scares me. We talked a little bit about this before the show. Is he's brought a little bit of energy and a different attitude to this team. You know, when they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars last week, could you imagine him dancing in the locker room? He's dancing in the locker room with his teams. You got J.J. Watt dancing, and some of the players dance with him. This team has a new attitude. I understand that they had to fire O'Brien, and I just think he brought – I don't really know the guy, but just looking at the way that the team played, I think O'Brien brought a lot of negative energy to that team, so guys didn't want to play for him, guys didn't want to sacrifice for him because I don't think that he was a player's coach. Now you got Romeo that's a player's coach that's been around for a long time and respects the players and understands the players and having fun with the players. I'm going to tell you something. They got a new attitude, and this is a dangerous, dangerous team.
Floyd, you know Romeo very well.
Yeah, I mean, and Romeo, and Chris said it all there. I mean, player's coach. You know, Bill was not a player coach. Bill is more along the lines of, you know, Belichick, Saban, you know, that very businesslike, very this is the way we're going to do it, and if you don't like it, you got to go kind of thing. Whereas Romeo is one of the world's nicest people. You know, I mean, just players love him. Players love being around him. Coaches love him. You know, he's just a really, really nice guy. And he's probably perfect for this job right now because he's not going to be looking for a head coaching job down the line. You know, I think Romeo's a year or two older than I am. So he's probably ready to get home and play a little golf. As far as the players liking him and all of that, I have no doubt but that they love him. And they'd love to win for him. The question is, can they, will they?
You know, Floyd, have you ever been around a coach that you just – you've been around him and it just makes the game not fun? How did you respond to that situation? Have you been in that situation?
Sure. I mean, I've coached on staffs where the coach –
He was right? That coach.
Floyd, were you?
This is really, really tough because I've talked about this before. You know, organizations that are lost go between the two coaches. They hire Billy O, disciplinarian. We're going to get this team, you know, playing right, and we're going to get them where they need to be, and we're going to win 4 out of 6 division titles. You bring in a player's coach, why? Because he's easy, because he's fun. Because he's now, can you win 4 out of 6 division titles with that guy? That's the question. But what happens with the organizations is they go back and forth because the only thing they know is they want to vote. This is like politics. They want to vote for the guy that is new. You know, I don't want any more of the old guy. Give me the new guy. And so they're going to go just the opposite. From disciplinarian to a player's coach, that won't work. They'll go from a player's coach to a disciplinarian. That won't work. Therefore, you're on the carousel.
And that takes us to fourth down.
Fourth down.
Last week, we highlighted the kicker. This week on fourth down, the return man, Khalif Raymond. Mm. The Titans had not gotten much out of their punt return game. Raymond with a 40-yard return for the Titans against Buffalo. Vrabel has been vocal in wanting more out of the return game, and Raymond had a big catch for a first down against the Buffalo Bills. Floyd, do you see some improvements in these special teams outside of the kicker and the punter?
Well, I mean, I don't know. We had the one return, and does that mean you're getting better? Yeah, maybe. Maybe it means they were awful. Maybe it means somebody missed a block. I mean, you just don't know. If we can consistently get to that, absolutely. But I really have no qualms about the fact that we are not going to consistently get to that.
Hey, Floyd.
I mean, it's going to be tough.
Hey, Floyd, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
How many good returns have they had?
A few.
One. And Jay's trying to crown them already.
Yeah.
I said, are they improving? I thought Milton did a great job on covering the punts.
Oh, he did.
Against Buffalo.
Yeah, he did.
And you didn't ask me last week, but I was going to give him my special teams game ball.
What?
You were going to give it to Milton?
Yeah. For those two
great
plays.
I forgot to ask for the game ball.
Yeah, I forgot the game balls altogether. I mean, you are really slipping.
I really, really am. It's my old age. Really. You turn 31 and all of a sudden it's downhill.
So you hear this guy.
Coming up next here on the pregame show, we'll take a look at the Titans offense. What do they have to do today in order to score on a Houston Texan defense with J.J. Watt that has given Titans quarterbacks nightmares for years? We will get to that next. It is the pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What are the offensive keys for the two-tone blue in today's game? Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders go inside the offensive playbook now on NFL Pregame on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
2 hours to kick off, Titans and Texans, and normally we are talking about the offensive keys, or at least the last 4 or 5 seasons we've been doing the show, and it's been, how can the Titans find a way on offense to get something going? How can the Titans block J.J. Watt? How can they stop the Texans? And yet, after watching last week, I'm not sure Arthur Smith needs our help right now with the way he is coaching this offense and the way he and Tannehill have it rolling. But, Chris,
yes, sir.
That is your job as the offensive guy on this show. So start us off today. The Houston Texans struggling in the secondary, trying to replace D.J. Reader, their defensive tackle who went to the Bengals. They still have J.J. He's up in age, but it doesn't look like the same Texan defense. What are the keys today, offensive?
We got to do what we did to the Bills last week. We got to make sure we stay hot. Does that make sense? And score early. We have to score early and not give, you know, the Texans any kind of momentum. We can't go out there and have turnovers and, you know, mess around and get three and outs. We just got to keep playing consistent football. And I think we keep talking about it. I know we've been spoiled a little bit. It's about getting Derrick Henry in the running game more. But he's been playing consistent. If we just get him going and getting those physical runs, that's going to open it for the pass, and that's going to open it for these other receivers to make some big, big plays. But I just think if we keep playing consistent football, protect the football, and go out there and establish a run, I think the Tennessee Titans are going to be outstanding today.
Floyd, what do you think about the Titans versus the Texans?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Chris 100%. I mean, I think we need to continue doing what we're doing and not turn the ball over. Yeah. And if we can do that, that would be a giant step in the right direction. Derek is going to go out and get his, whatever that is, and we don't know what that's going to be. But we saw last week, to make the play action work, you don't have to gain 200 yards. You know, if you can gain 75, 80, 50, whatever the number is, but show the opponents that we are indeed going to run the ball, and it's only a matter of time before this big hoss breaks one. Then I think it sets everything up. When it comes to passing game, in my mind, don't get greedy. Mm-hmm. You know, play your game. Play action pass. If you can hit a crossing route or your tight end, you know, doing some kind of curl or squat or any of those kinds of things, go ahead and do it. We'll take those yards. You know, you never go broke taking a profit. So I would maintain that. I don't want to get all into some kind of a scoring flurry where we feel like, hey, we scored 40 points last week and we're going to score 50 points this week, and you go out there and throw the ball to the wrong team 2 or 3 times, you end up losing the game.
You know, Floyd, we've been talking about Tannehill and we're talking about his O-line and we've been talking about Henry, but I need to apologize to these receivers, man. I have. I mean, Floyd, you made a funny joke about Hollister last week. No, I'm just kidding. That was me. But they actually been playing well. And I want to take my hat off to A.J. Brown. Everybody knows how he did. He was 7 for 82 for 1 TD. But look at Hollister. It's a guy that a lot of people really don't know, but he made a key third down catch. I mean, that was a momentum changer right there. He caught the ball, but he fell. But these receivers have been making plays. Raymond's been making plays. Janu's a tight end, but he's been making plays. So if the Tennessee Titans just keep doing their job in every facet of the game, I think they're going to be okay.
I would argue, as far as the Titans are concerned, I would say that we're looking at an offense 6-6 in the red zone on Thursday. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. What do you make of a stat like that?
Well, as you see a stat like that, you know, the first thing that pops into your head was, you know, you had a couple of cheapies. You know, those weren't 80-yard drives to go in the red zone to score. You know, you've had a couple opportunities where you're getting the ball in the 30 or the 40 or the 20, which is exactly what happened. You know, there were a couple of times there where they almost got the ball inside the red zone. And then we're able to finish it off. I'm not taking anything away from the ability to finish it off. But I think most people would look at those numbers and say, okay, those weren't six long marches to get into the red zone to score touchdowns. There's just too many opportunities for mistakes along the way.
You know, Ian Floyd, I know there's been good in the red zone, but the Tennessee Titans practice this every other day, probably so. And it's not this, well, let's just go out and get to this point and we score. They practice this. They have situational football. Arthur Smith does that. Mike Vrabel does that to prepare these guys to be successful in the red zone. So it's not like, well, we just popped up and we just started doing this. They practice this every day and emphasize how important it is to score touchdowns as opposed to field goals.
Finally, the Houston Texans are one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to slowing down the run. 31st in the league. They give up 160 yards per game on the ground. Chris, we have not seen Derrick Henry break one yet. We have not seen a Derrick Henry game, 150, 170, 180, 200 yards. Yeah. We have not seen that out of Derrick Henry. Is today the day that they get going with Henry against this struggling Texans run defense?
You know, I think we've been a little bit spoiled with Henry, because if you look at last year when he played against the Texans, that's when isn't that when he broke the record, or was it against the Colts?
He got the rushing title against the Texans at the end of the year.
Yeah, you don't think they remember that? So you don't think they're gonna remember what he did to them last year? So I'm gonna say it's gonna be some tough yards. I see between 70 and 80 this game. I don't think he's gonna get 150. But if you look at what he's done in the span of these last four games, he's been consistent. There's a difference between being consistent and having a big play. Yeah, we want the big play. Yeah, we want the 70, 80, you know, yard touchdown. But if you're consistently standing in front of the chains, if you're consistently, you know, getting to the second level of the defense, then you're being productive. So I just think that we as fans and we as people, we've been spoiled because we've seen the long play. Long as you're consistent and stand in front of the chains, now you're actually doing your job.
And I would agree 100% with Chris. I mean, it's not, you know, you to have a successful running game, you don't have to rip off a 50-yarder. You know, if you look week after week, team after team, the number of long runs by a running back, you would be shocked at how limited that is. Because for a running back, you know, a 40-yard run is a long run. And so when you imagine going 60 or 80 or whatever it is, I mean, that's kind of off the charts. So it's not necessarily you have to have the long runs. What you have to do is you have to be able to run the ball well enough on offense that the defense has to say, okay, we got to stop this run. And when you get to that point, then you've gotten to the point where your play action passes and all the things, your protections, your blitz pickups, all the things that you have to be concerned about all have a chance of working for you because of the effectiveness of your run.
And if you look at last week, when he only had 57 yards, those are 57 earned yards. There's a difference. It's not as well, he's not running the ball well. He scored two touchdowns. So we just can't get so spoiled of thinking, okay, if Henry doesn't have that 70 or 80 yard run, then he's not being successful. I mean, he's making touchdowns. He's making, you know, key first downs. He's converting third downs, and he's keeping those chains moving. That's a successful back.
I just wonder when the 80-yard runs are coming. When are the 63-yard touchdowns coming?
What did I just say?
I want to see it. And I would say this. The Texans' defense is – you look at what the Texans' defense was 3 or 4 years ago and you compare it to now, it's not the same thing. They still have Cunningham, who's pretty good. And I think Reed, their safety, is pretty good.
Merciless is there.
Yeah, but he's not the same guy anymore. JJ is not the same guy anymore. JJ can still bring it for a play or two.
True.
But he can't bring it every play the way he used to bring it. I think that, like, I don't think much of this Texans defense, and I do think a lot of this Titans offense.
Yeah, but there's a different attitude now. I know that's cliche-ish, but this team has a different attitude as opposed to if it was 2 weeks ago. I mean, they're flying around. I watched the game a little bit. I know you don't think their defense is that good, but they still have some key guys that can make key plays at key times. So that's the thing that scares me.
Yeah, and I don't. I mean, Jared gets tainted by the numbers, you know, so. He sees the numbers that these guys are putting up, and he says, well, they're the worst team in the league against the rush, and they are. They are also the most run-against team in the NFL. So if you are getting more attempts than anybody else in the NFL, you're probably going to be the worst against the run. And the reason they're doing that is because they're behind. I mean, they're playing Baltimore, they're behind. They're playing Pittsburgh, they're behind. They're playing Kansas City, they're behind. And when you're behind, what's the other team doing? Turning around and giving it to the running back, letting them gain, letting them gain. We don't need 80 yards. Just get four. Just get four. Just get four. And that's what they've gone through. So the numbers are a little bit skewed, I think, when you look at it and you say, oh, this is the worst team in the league against. Now, are they as good as they were, you know, 3 years ago or 2 years ago or whenever? No, they probably aren't. But there would be a lot of people argue that neither are we.
You know, Jared, would you rather have an 80-yard touchdown by Henry or win the game?
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. That's not fair.
Yeah, just answer the question.
Yeah, I don't think that's fair. I think that those two go. I think that the 80-yard touchdown from Derrick Henry helps you win the game.
Swing and a miss.
What are you talking about?
Okay, Floyd, should I ask this question one more time?
Go for it.
That's like saying, would you rather have Ryan Tannehill win the MVP award, but the Titans miss the playoffs, or would you rather have Ryan Tannehill throw an incompletion on every pass, but the Titans win the Super Bowl? Then I guess I'll take incompletion on every pass to win the Super Bowl. But this is probably not going to happen.
Hey, Floyd, can I ask you a question?
Sir.
Would you rather have Henry run an 80-yard touchdown or win the game?
Give me the W.
Okay.
Okay, this is ridiculous. Okay. Would you rather have Tannehill complete every pass and lose, or Tannehill be incomplete on every pass and win? You'd rather have Tannehill be incomplete on every pass and win.
Hey, Jared. Would you rather have Henry run an 80-yard touchdown or the Titans win the ball game and he has 57 yards?
Is there anybody in America who roots for the Titans who would pick the option that didn't involve winning?
That's what I'm saying. I love you, Jared.
I'm just saying that the more 80-yard touchdown runs he has, the better chance Titans have to win. That's all I'm saying. Coming up next, the Titans defense. Are they good? I mean, they did shut down Buffalo. Are they bad? They could not get off the field on third down. What do we think about that? We'll go to the Keys against Deshaun and the Texans, and we'll do that next. Live from the Corner Pub, downtown, getting you set for Titans and Texans. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5, the game.
The defensive keys for the two-tone blue in today's game. Jared, Floyd, and Chris go inside the playbook now on NFL Pregame on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
The GM has got to be scared to death of the Houston Texans offense, because in spite of the fact that they haven't done a ton of producing this year, they have speed at wide receiver. Brandon Cooks, big game last week against the Jacksonville Jags. Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, who had two touchdowns in a game here at Nissan Stadium last November, and Randall Cobb added to the mix to replace DeAndre Hopkins. They have David Johnson at running back, who, well, will probably never be what he was with the Arizona Cardinals, but still a good receiver out of the backfield. And Deshaun Watson, who in his young career has proved to be quite the Titan killer. So, Floyd, put your headset on. You're the defensive coordinator today. We don't know if Kristen Fulton will be back. We know Adoree Jackson will not be. What do you do?
Well, I mean, I don't think you have many options, again, which is kind of where they've been the last few weeks, which is – If you look, for example, at Buffalo last week, the thing they were able to do was get the big plays. And the big plays saved their bacon, because we saw what happened on third down. We saw, you know, we probably, without the big plays, weren't going to be able to stop them on a lot of those drives. And I think, you know, today could be kind of the same thing, which is we're going to have to be patient, sit back there. They're going to gain some yards. They're going to convert some third downs. We have to hope that maybe we get a tip ball, maybe we get a drop ball, you know, maybe we get a holding penalty, maybe we get some of those kinds of things that kill drives for them. If we can get more big plays, more interceptions, more strip sacks, things like that, fantastic. We just haven't gotten a lot of those in the past.
I think for the defense, they're going to have to make Deshaun Watson gun-shy. I mean, because if he's gun-shy, he's going to make those interceptions. If you look at last week, he threw two picks. Even though they won, You know, they got him off his spot a little bit, and he made bad choices. I think we're going to have to put pressure on him, collapse the pocket, make him stay in the pocket, don't let him run and extend the play. And I think the Tennessee Titans are going to be all right. But the only thing that really concerns me about our defense, and you guys alluded to it before, is our secondary. I mean, our secondary is going to have to play Butler, Jackson, Ty Smith. They're going to have to come up with big plays like Butler did last week. Because you got Cook, who had 8 for 161 last week. You have Fuller, had 4 for 58 in the TD. We're going to have to eliminate the explosive plays. And if these Tennessee Titans can eliminate the explosive plays and Deshaun plays with a little bit of confidence, then we could be in trouble because we don't have no speed at the back end.
What do you guys think of the Texans' lack of a running game and how much that may help the Titans in trying to stop the passing game?
It's not really bad, though. You know, if you look at last week, he was 17 for 96. So it's not a terrible run game like it was last week. If you look when they played Buffalo, the reason why the Tennessee Titans were so successful for stopping the Bills is because they disguised their coverages and they stayed back, let the guys catch the ball, and let the quarterback make the bad decision. This is a different situation. Now you got Johnson. It's a pretty good back that can still catch the screens and run the ball and get some plays and move the chains. But it's going to be a difficult task if these Tennessee Titans don't come out and play.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough, I think, from the standpoint of we know what our pass rush has been. Can that be better today? Maybe it can. You know, if Big Jeff is back in there and if he is a factor, then, you know, maybe that helps the outside guys. But you know, I think we're the league worst 5 sacks. So, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, I probably can't count on that. Then you turn it over on the other side and you say, okay, if, in fact, Fulton can't play, they've got 3 receivers, and 2 of the 3 receivers can outrun the 2 corners that will be covering them. So what can you do? Well, take a step back.
Take three steps back.
And go ahead and let them catch an 8-yard curl. Go ahead and let them. But please don't let them run by you for 60. And I think that, you know, if you can do that, if you can be patient, and it's hard, and I hate it. I hate playing defense this way. But sometimes you just don't have, you know, another choice.
I mean, Floyd, you got 2 or 3 guys in this receiving corps that run 4-3.
Yeah.
That is scary. You got Fuller that runs a 4-3. You got Cook that runs a 4-2. So as a man in the secondary, who are you going to have to cover these guys? Who, yeah. I mean, who?
I mean, I don't know what Fulton ran, but I'm not sure Fulton's fast enough to cover those guys. But
he's
for
fast.
sure, those other guys aren't. You know, those other guys are 4-6 guys.
That's like me going against Jared. I mean, it's just no match.
Floyd, what do you think about the third down success the Buffalo Bills had? I mean, it almost is completely overlooked because the Titans won the game and dominated the scoreboard. But the third downs were just abysmal on defense Tuesday night. And surely that's something Deshaun is hoping to hang his hat on. Deshaun has killed the Titans on third down. But that was when he had DeAndre to throw the ball to. How do you feel about third downs in today's game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the third downs are going to be a reflection of what they do game plan-wise. And, again, if they're going to be patient, if they're just going to let you dink and dunk and dink and dunk, then you're going to have a lot of third and threes that they're going to convert. You know, if you're lucky enough that you can get pass rush, or you're lucky enough that you knock a couple of passes down, now it's third and 10, now you got a chance. Now, if you're on defense, say, okay, fine, here we go. We can play this. But if because you are not doing a great job on first down or second down, by the time he gets to third down, it's third and a couple. I mean, the chances of them converting are very, very high.
And we can't let Deshaun scramble. When it's third and 15, we can't just fall apart and not stay in our lanes or a corner or a safety come up and think then the play's over. And let Deshaun Watson go from getting a third and 10 to getting 11 yards. So we really got to have a spy on him. I don't know who's going to be him, like a buyer, to really kind of spy and see where he's going and not let him move the chains by converting a third and 10 or a third and 11.
I just wonder why the Titans defense has no pass rush. They've spent the money on pass rush. They've drafted guys to rush the passer. They should be able to get there. I'm not saying, like, we all know that I think Clowney stinks and can't rush the passer at all. But, like, he should at least be able to get there a little bit.
What makes Clowney stink, though?
The fact that he does nothing.
But he's getting a lot of pressures.
But they don't affect the quarterback.
Yeah, it does. It makes him make those quick decisions.
I can't think of one single play this season where the quarterback has said, oh, my God, here comes Clowney. I got to throw the ball away, and then throws the ball for an interception. I mean, you played with Javon Kearse, and you played with those guys. And, I mean, again, not to take anything away from Samari Roll or Marcus Robertson or Blaine Bishop or any of those guys, but how many interceptions did those guys come by because they were scared to death of Javon Kearse? And I don't feel like the Titans have a single player who scares any offensive players on the other team. And I don't know why that is. I mean, they have paid the money for guys.
How many of those guys are there in the league? Give me a quick rundown. Who's the guy that scares you off of Houston's team?
J.J. Watt.
Floyd, he just said he was washed up.
Yeah,
he's not the same as he was.
It depends on which side of the mouth he's talking.
He's not the same as he was.
Right, well, who's the great pass rusher at Jacksonville?
Josh Allen.
Okay, who's the great pass rusher at Indy? Okay, who's the
Buckner?
Great pass rusher at Minnesota? I mean, you go through each team. Not every team has a great pass rusher.
Right.
And yet the Titans are the one team that cannot rush the passer.
Well, yeah, you want me to smile enough for you?
There are a lot of teams that can't necessarily rush the passer. The question is, and here's the problem, and I've tried to explain this for 3 weeks now. This is the last time I'm doing it. Listen up. If the secondary can't cover them long enough for the rush to get there, they have no chance. If the rush can't get there soon enough to help the secondary in coverage, then you're going to be in trouble. And that's where we are. We can't do it on either end. We can't cover them long enough to help the pass rush, and we can't get enough pass rush to help the coverage. And so they're equally out there fighting for their lives. And consequently, you're not very good at any of it. That's why you have to back up and say, okay, you know, I don't like playing defense this way, but we're going to have to be, you know, very patient. We're going to have to be smart. We're going to have to look for tip balls. We're going to have to pray we can get a strip sack or knock a ball loose or something along those lines. And if we can, then we'll be in great shape, a la last week. Just what we saw last week is what we need to emulate.
I'm good.
And I
hate we'll
it.
See.
And I hate it.
We'll see. But I try to think of the really good teams in the league, and most of them have somebody who at least puts a little bit of fear on you in the other team's quarterback. And
think about the number of pass rushers in the league that you game plan for. That's a way to break it down. There's nobody at Jacksonville you game plan for. There's nobody at Houston you game plan for. There's nobody at Indy you game plan for.
You don't game plan for Buckner?
No. When you get to Chicago, do you game plan for? Yes, you do.
Like next week, they will game plan
Arizona,
for T.J. Watt.
When you get to Arizona, you're going to, you know, when Jones was there, you're going to game plan for him. When you get to, and I think you go through the league and you look at the number of guys that you game plan for, I'm talking about, you know, they sit in a meeting and they say, there's absolutely no way this guy can go one-on-one blocked. So every single snap, we have to have a tight end. We have to have a back chip. We have to slide the protection to him. We have to do, and there really aren't that many guys out there. That's why when it comes to acquiring one of those guys, it costs you half a franchise. It costs you, what did they pay for Mac? Two firsts and a brand new contract. You know, that's what it costs you because they're that valuable.
Coming up next, we've got who's in and who's out. We'll have the injury report as well. Sounds like some good news for the Titans. We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared, Chris, and Floyd live from the Corner Pub downtown. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Live from Corner Pub, we're 90 minutes from kickoff for the Two-Tone Blue. Who's in and out of the lineup? Let's find out now on NFL Pregame with Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Time to take a look at the injury report and our analysis presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans here on the pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown, getting you set for Titans Texans. Out today for the Texans, wide receiver Kiki Kuti is out. Cornerback Cornell Armstrong, running back Buddy Howell, inside linebacker Peter Kalabombwai, tackle Charlie Heck, and tight end Jordan Akins, their backup tight end, is out today for the Texans. Good news for the Titans. Now, on the COVID list still, I believe, sit Michael Pruitt and Corey Davis, so those two will not play. But inactive for the Titans, defensive back Chris Jackson, offensive lineman Daniel Munyer, linebacker Will Compton, tackle Isaiah Wilson, and defensive lineman Matt Dickerson. So no big names that are out today for the Titans, which kind of makes me think, Floyd, that we're starting to see the Titans get back to normal a little bit.
Jeez, I hope. I mean, it seems like, you know, we had those days where you go through and you wake up in the morning and unlike a typical morning, the first thing you think about is, gosh, I hope somebody doesn't test positive today. You know, it'd be nice to have those. And we're seeing it, you know. I mean, I think we're starting to realize, and the league is starting to realize that, you know what, this may not be just a Titan problem. I think Jacksonville had 12 of their 14 practice squad guys test positive today. So, I mean, things like that are starting to pop around the league. And it's, you know, it's going to be interesting. But from our standpoint, I mean, just to have those guys back and a couple of guys back off of the injury, you know, injury issues, I mean, that's good news for the Titans.
But you know what's cool is even though they've been going through this, a lot of this adversity and going through the COVID stuff, they're 4-0. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. I mean, they're 4-0 going through all this mess, going through the COVID, going through Kent, practice and all these things, and they're still winning. Just imagine when everybody comes back. I mean, all the receivers come back, all the defensive line guys come, even all the cornerbacks come back. Just imagine how dangerous this team could be when they got everybody back.
Yeah.
Floyd, what do we make of the receiver position in this game? Again, we talked about this all day leading up to the last game. Cam Batson will be elevated off of the practice squad for this game. So the Titans are going back to, I think, four receivers, including Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. What did we think of them when we were kind of dogging those receivers the other day, and then they went out there and played pretty well? And how encouraged were you by A.J. Brown's performance in his first game back?
Yeah, I mean, I thought A.J. really played well. You know, he had one drop that was critical that would have been a first down. But other than that, I think generally speaking, he played very well. And really, all the receivers, some of these guys that we've never even heard of, you know, stepped up and made a play or two. The part that is really interesting to me is how quickly Ryan will go ahead and throw the ball to him. Now, that's, you know, according to coverage and, you know, according to who should get the pass, I'm assuming he's doing that based on, you know, what he reads. But still, in his world, he doesn't care what your number is, what your name is. You know, if you're a receiver and you're supposed to be in that spot, coverage dictates I throw the ball that spot, get ready, here it comes. And the little group of receivers has been fairly productive.
And just looking at the whole game of last week, he trusts his receivers, Floyd.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at when it's a key third down, he throws it to Hollister, and Hollister catches it. And then on another one, you have Raymond where it's third and 23. Not third and five. It's third and 23, and you give it to Raymond, and he gets the first down.
Yeah.
It just shows you that he, even though the jersey number's different, but he expects the same results. And that's why I'm so proud of these young wide receivers.
What do we make of the Titans' offensive line after last week? Again, they're not going to put Isaiah Wilson out there, the first-round pick, but he is at least on the active roster. Titans' offensive line finding themselves without the practice for 2 weeks, and it did feel like at times they really held their own against Buffalo.
They were physical. I mean, if you look at the Buffalo Bills, they were on skates the whole time. I mean, they were getting hit in the mouth. They were getting blindsided by different blocks. And I think when you see that the Tennessee Titans were controlling the line of scrimmage and being physical, it just shows you it don't matter who's in that lineup, the results are expected to be the same.
And I would agree. You know, considering everything, they played pretty well. The thing today is we're going to have to step that up a notch. But we should be able to step it up a notch because we've actually had some practice and, you know, some time with the team and with the running backs, and that should make a difference for us. So we need them to step it up, play at another level, and they should be able to do that.
So one thing that's of note, Daquan Jones had a foot injury. He was questionable. He's active. He will play. Jeffrey Simmons off of the COVID list. He's back in there. He will play. Floyd, what do you expect out of the DTs for the Titans, knowing that they're both going to play today against the Texans? And how important are they to slowing down Deshaun?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to help. Simmons, I think, at least prior to his injury or prior to COVID, whatever it was able to help the outside guys a little bit. And I think that's what you're looking for from him. You know, Jones will help the outside guys on the run, but not necessarily on the pass. But Big Jeff can help him on the pass because he can get some penetration. He can get some pressure to close the front of the pocket. Now, which means if you are an outside rush guy and you're sole objective in life is to keep that quarterback in the pocket, then that's what you need to do. Because if we get good pressure up front, the first thing he's going to want to do is spill out one side or the other. And if you can keep that contain on him and not let him spill out, it will make everybody happier. We will get better pressure on the quarterback. We will have more chances to hit the quarterback. We will have more errant throws, and we'll probably give up less big plays.
Yeah, and Simmons just made this defense better. And the reason why I say he made it better is because he's going to demand a double team. And when he gets double team, that's going to free up a lot of guys like Clowney and Evans and all those guys that can put pressure on Watson. So with him being in the lineup, it is absolutely huge because when that big joker gets going, he's going to demand that double team and everybody's going to be on man-to-man coverage and have a chance to get to Deshaun Watson.
What do we think about the Titans right now and the way that they're playing on special teams? Are we feeling good about the special teams? Are we feeling bad about the special teams? Are we indifferent about the special teams? Chris, how do you feel about special teams?
I don't know. I mean, I think we're doing better at kicking. I mean, I know that Raymond had a good, was it a kickoff punt return? He did okay on that, but I just still think we need to be more explosive in those areas because if we have be explosive in those areas, then now we can get field position by having a good kickoff return, a good punt return, so we don't have to drive the length of the field. And I think if we can do that and that's at that aspect, it just made your Tennessee Titans team better.
Yeah, I would agree. If we could get all of that, we'd be great. I'm not sure we're going to be able to, but I thought last week from a special team standpoint, we probably played as complete a game as we played in a long time. And by that, I mean you had a kicker that could kick, you had a punter that could punt, you had a returner that actually got a little bit of a return. We had some cover people that actually got down the field, covered kicks and covered punts. So all in all, I think if you go through and look at the way we performed last week, that's probably, you know, from our standpoint, probably pretty effective special teams.
Coming up next here on, I almost said Jared and the GM. Coming up next here on the pregame show, Teron Davenport, ESPN, will join us live from Nissan Stadium. What is the latest surrounding the Titans and the Texans on the ground at Nissan Stadium? We will do that coming up next as we are rocking and rolling, getting you set for Titans and Texans live from the Corner Pub downtown. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans and Texans at Nissan Stadium in an hour and 15 minutes or so. The Titans look to go to 5-0 for the first time since 2008. By the way, again, Chris Sanders and Floyd Reese's Tennessee Titans that went to Super Bowls and won division titles and things of that magnitude never started off 5-0, but I think two back-to-back seasons at 9-1, which right now I'd settle for 9-1 out of court if I were the Tennessee Titans.
Amen.
Teron Davenport, ESPN, is live at Nissan Stadium getting us set for today's game. TD Daquan Jones is active. You were reporting earlier today he was on the field very early today, getting warmed up with the strength coach having his eye on him. What did you see out of Daquan Jones, and what's the latest surrounding that? I guess we may have lost Teron, but apparently Floyd, the strength and conditioning coach of the Titans, was watching Daquan Jones work out very early today, perhaps trying to figure out if he could go on that foot or not.
Yeah, and that's what they do. They'll take him out there and run them through a series of drills, depending on what it is that's bothering them, run through a series of drills to check agility, the ability to plant and change directions, maybe even some kind of endurance, because the worst thing that happens to you is you go out there and you run around a little bit and you feel really, really good, and we say, okay, fine, you're good to go, and then he goes out there and plays three plays and it flares back up and he's gone, and now you're down a player for the rest of the game.
So TD is back with us. TD, what did you make of the pre-game workout that Daquan Jones went through to be active for today's game? Still thinking we're struggling on the TD front. Chris, what's Daquan Jones in the lineup mean for you?
I mean, I think it's huge, but I think the key is if he can push off or not. I mean, I know we're talking about the injury, but he doesn't need to run a 50 or 60-yard dash to see if he's, you know, can go or not. But I think with him, he's going to create some pressure, and he's going to free up a lot of guys to go and make some plays, kind of like the same thing with Simmons. If you have both of those guys in the lineup, I mean, it just makes everybody better. But the key is, can he push off? Can he have that one explosive step? And if he can have that explosive step and not get hurt on a third play, I think they're going to be okay.
Floyd, how impressed were you by the fact that the Titans, knock on wood, came out of the Buffalo game relatively injury-free given their lack of practice?
Yeah, I think I was a little bit surprised. I mean, I expected a lot more. And we don't know what happened during the week, but I expected a lot more tight hammies, tight groins, things that soft muscle tissue, soft tissue injuries, simply because it's been, you know, a couple of weeks since those guys have really, really been through an NFL caliber practice, game, whatever the case may be. So I think, knock on wood, we got through that relatively unscathed.
What do you make of, Chris, the fact that the Titans physically were able to make it through this game?
I mean, it's huge. And you know, with Mike Vrabel, he's not going to make any excuses. Yeah, they had a lot of things against him and not getting hurt and doing all those things. But, you know, you just got to come and do your job. And I think that's what Mike Vrabel's been stressing, regardless of the situation, regardless of people are hurt, regardless of COVID, regardless of all these things, all these excuses. You know, you still have to go out and do your job, whosoever jersey's in the game. So it really didn't matter. They went out there, they played their game, everybody did their job, and they came out with a win against Buffalo.
Do we have TD back?
Okay. I'm here.
All right, we got TD. Okay, TD.
He's on the COVID list. Come on.
I know, right?
I think the production is – it seems like it doesn't want me and Jared to talk, man. What's going on with this?
What's up, baby?
Oh, man. TD, let's start with this. The Texans out there on the field today, you see them. How much do you think the Texans feel after their win last week that Romeo Crennel, with him as coach, that a win today against the Titans can turn their season around?
Oh, they know 100% a win today can turn the season around. And to be honest with you, that decision in itself turned the season around, because here's the deal. And some of the people that I talked to, they said that this Texans team, they feel relieved. And, you know, football is never a sport that you should play uptight. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't do anything uptight and feel like, you know, whatever mistake you make is going to get magnified and somebody's going to scream down your neck. It's different with Coach Crennel because he's a player's coach. You know, he's a guy that everybody, they love. They want to play for, you know, Uncle Romeo, you know what I mean? And that's really the relationship that they have. They don't want to disappoint Uncle Romeo. So they understand fully that this is an opportunity for them to put things back in order. And the other thing you have to think of, the start of their schedule was a murderer's row. So it's a bit understandable that they have that record. But after this game, things should start to taper down for them a little bit. So, yeah, this is 100% a game that's most important to them so far. It's a divisional game. It's a chance to get a win against the team that's on top of the division. So make no mistake about it. It's do or die for them. They understand it.
TD, what did you think of the production of the receivers? We were talking about that earlier today against Buffalo. Even without some of the name guys in there, they still played pretty well. Adam Humphries will make his return today. But how much do you think the Titans receivers have given this team a boost?
Yeah, 100%. When you have a guy like A.J. Brown, that just sets the offense up so nicely, and it just adds another aspect to their red zone offense. You look at what they did, the 16-yard stutter and go. He got to tap his feet a little bit and then go and score that touchdown. And then just giving other options for Ryan Tannehill. I thought it was really impressive. Cleve Raymond had the opportunity to go across the middle. And we know that that guy's not the biggest guy, but his heart is bigger than most people out here. So that's the something that really helped out too. And I think just as a group, they've done really well. And now you have Cam Batson and Adam Humphries coming back. So you know that third down opportunity is going to be taken advantage of because Humphries is a slot machine and he helps get those first downs. So I really think that the receiving core has helped. But if we're talking about catching the football, you have to mention Jonnu Smith. That rascal has 5 touchdowns already. And, I mean, he's on his way to double-digit touchdowns. The connection that he and Ryan Tannehill have, especially in the red zone, is ridiculous. And you got to shout out Jonnu Smith, what he's been able to do.
TD, the part that absolutely scares me the most is their receivers against our secondary, you know, particularly our young corners, simply because they have so much speed. And as we've seen in the past, speed kills us. How do you see that all playing out?
Yeah, I tell you what, when I look at this Texans team, it reminds me of back in 95 when I used to play Madden, and I would score a long touchdown, and Pat Summerall would say, speed kills. And that's exactly what you have in this case. You got 3 guys that run legitimate 4-3 40s, and it transfers to the field. And they like to do things as far as use like cut splits and have them run those go routes and give a lot of space along the sideline for Watson to drop the ball into. And I think that's something that these Titans corners are going to have to be very concerned about. Then when you mix Randall Cobb working underneath, and I'll say this, once they get on the same page in that scramble drill and when plays break down, because, you know, Watson is really good at doing that. So that's something that's going to be really tough to stop once they're able to all have their places when the play breaks down and Watson escapes the pocket. That's what he would always kill the Titans with. So now you have the speed, too. It's definitely tough to plaster two guys like that. So you're 100% right. That's a lot to be concerned about. I think having Christian Fulton back, I think that's going to help. I would expect to see him get some time on the outside as opposed to the slot because of that speed out there. But I'm just curious why Chris Jackson was inactive, because he's another guy that's speedy and fast enough to run with these receivers. And they made the decision to have him inactive.
TD, I mean, part of the thing that you're most worried about, you just discussed, which is exactly right, is going to be keeping Watson in the pocket, not letting him run all over the ballpark with the ball, you know, run along pumping the ball, trying to get somebody to get out of coverage, or giving time for a receiver to pop into an open area. How much will Daquan and Simmons affect that whole thing?
Yeah, I think they're going to affect it. More importantly, Simmons. I expect to see them get back with that NASCAR package with Simmons and Clowney on the inside and Landry and Beasley on the outside. And that's a way that they could kind of collapse things, right? You collapse the pocket on the interior, then you have your guys along the outside containing. Don't be surprised if you see some blitzes out of nickel, sort of like what the Titans did against the Ravens with Logan Ryan, like to kind of cut the field in half and shrink his space to move. That's something I would expect to see with Kenny Vaccaro. And then also, I think they're going to really work on containing him, Watson, that is, within the pocket and trying to make him make plays from there and not allow him to move around. Don't be surprised also if you see more rushes coming from the left side of the defense to kind of force him to his left and make him kind of throw on the run. It's a lot harder to throw on the run to your left than when you're right-handed. So I think they're going to do a lot of things like that to try to move him around and make him uncomfortable.
TD, what's up with you, baby? You doing good, man?
Run, run, run.
Run, daddy. Hey, with the damn, that's the show right there. Hey, with the struggles of the Texans front, do you think Derrick Henry can have a big day?
I think he can. I think he can have a big day, and I think you're going to see him get the ball a lot early. I think they're going to try to put this team away early with their physicality, which is kind of different from what the Titans do, because this is more of a team that will pass and then run, right? They pass to get the lead and they run to secure it. And that's why you see so many 100-yard games by Derrick Henry coming when they win, you know. So that's something to look at. But, yeah, I absolutely – they're looking to break that long run. They want Henry to get there. They're trying to be patient, but at some point that has to break through. And that, what better time for that to happen than right here at Nissan Stadium, and you can hear the fans chanting Henry, Henry.
And also with Tannehill playing like out of his mind, and with the struggles with the Texans secondary, do you think Henry and Tannehill can have a big day in the passing game and also in the running game?
I think this team, if they don't score 34, 35 points, I think they should be disappointed, because it's that much of an opportunity. Mm. Bradley Roby is a solid corner, but you know, I think they could really take advantage of that. And you look at what A.J. Brown did to the secondary last year, right here in this stadium. Mm-hmm. There's definitely opportunities to do that. And I really think they're going to have to take advantage of it. I think they will. So, yeah, 100%. Tannehill could have a good day, and Derrick Henry as well.
Teron Davenport with us, ESPN. TD, do you think a win by the Titans today essentially knocks the Texans out of any hopes they would have of finding their way back into the AFC South race?
I don't. I think the Texans, just after seeing them go 0-3, they come back and win the division. I can't count them up, you know, and I stick to that. And especially with how the rest of the schedule is going to be, you know, again, that start was so tough for them. I think at some point things are going to click and this team could actually go on a run. And they may not win a division, but I could definitely see them, especially with the extra wild card spot that they have this year, I could definitely see them making a run and getting in the playoffs. And they could be one of those hot teams that is like, oh, I don't want to face them in early January. You know what I mean? I think that's something that, you know, some of these other playoff teams could be thinking.
Teron Davenport, ESPN.com, as always, joining us from the stadium. Nate and TD on Fridays, the Talking with TD podcast, as well as ESPN. We will see TD all throughout the week, recapping Titans and Texans. TD, appreciate it. Have a good one today.
Thanks, TD.
Appreciate it. You guys take it easy.
Yep. Appreciate you, boss.
Teron Davenport, ESPN, joining us on the program. Floyd, I'm sure that was music to your ears, hearing TD say that even if the Texans lose to the Titans today, the Titans are not running away from the Texans in the AFC South.
Right, and I think he's right. You know, I mean, I don't, you know, you're going to have to stomp these guys out simply because they've won the division 4 out of 6 years or whatever, and they've done it all kinds of ways. You know, they've done it just running away with the division. They've done it coming from behind. They've done it playing in the middle. They've done it all the way through. So they think that's kind of in their blood, you know. So they're expecting that still.
And it's about creating momentum. If you look at what the Tennessee Titans last year, they were 2-4. All of a sudden, they switched the quarterback situation and started creating momentum and started winning game after game after game. Just imagine if the Texans beat the Titans and they started doing exactly what the Tennessee Titans did before, winning game after game because of the momentum.
Coming up next, our picks to click. Who needs to click for the Titans to have a win today over the Houston Texans? We are live from the Corner Pub downtown. Chris, Floyd, Jared, it is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5, the game.
This is NFL Pregame. We're just 1 hour from kickoff. It's time for Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders to make their picks to click for today's game. Picks to click are brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
So I know that on the pregame show right now, I'm in last place on our game day selections, and I'm sure you two can enjoy that. But picks to click, I think I had a pretty good game. Chris Sanders, last week you went with Brett Kern and Kevin Byard. Nothing
like
bad there. Not bad there. Byard could have had a huge interception he missed on, but nothing. Floyd went with Jonnu Smith, who did have 2 touchdowns. And then he also went with Kevin Byard and Kenny Vaccaro. So pretty good there. Yours truly, though, I think took the cake. Khalif Raymond, big punt return, plus
a big catch.
And
he made one catch.
Can I finish? Malcolm Butler, two interceptions in the ball game, two game-changing interceptions for Malcolm
50%,
Butler in that game.
50% is average.
Thank you.
We got
50% is technically
both
failing.
Both Chris and I hit 100%.
Thank you, Coach.
How did Chris hit 100%?
Both got a guy on offense and a guy on defense that was a factor.
Thank you.
Byard?
Absolutely.
Yes. Key tackles.
Yeah.
No.
And then,
we're talking about picks to click. You got Johnny
better.
Smith.
That's better. That's Johnny not Smith, as good as one catch by Calais Raymond.
Floyd, who would have gotten your defensive game ball for the Buffalo game?
For the Buffalo game? Butler.
Okay.
We're giving you the 50%.
Who would have gotten your offensive game ball for the Buffalo game?
Tannehill.
Okay. So not Jonnu Smith. So I got a game
ball. Oh, no. There's no way. Nobody can deny Jonnu. And nobody can deny that safety. I mean,
he dropped the interception.
You can't deny those guys played very, very well.
Byard played fine. But he didn't play like Malcolm
and
Butler.
And Jonnu had two.
Jonnu had two touchdowns. Jonnu's a bad boy.
Five touchdowns in the last couple of games.
I will give Jonnu credit. He is a bad boy. And so if the Titans get down there.
100%.
And I'm the other team. Byard, I'm covering Jonnu Smith.
And Jonnu is 100%. You're 50.
No.
Yes.
I do not know what has happened to Jonnu Smith, but he has turned into Antonio Gates when the Titans get inside the 10-yard line this season, at least for Tannehill. It is time, though, to pick this week's Picks to Click, powered by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. Chris Sanders, you always start us off with Picks to Click. Who are your picks to click today?
On offense, y'all going to laugh at me. I'm going with Jonnu Smith. It's so bad. But he's been balling. That's a guarantee. Not a guarantee, but a guarantee. So I'm going to go with Jonnu. And on defense, I'm going to go with Clowney. Because this is former team, and I think he want to prove that you never should have let me go.
GM?
On offense, I'm going with Derek.
That's very hard to do, Floyd.
And on defense, I'm going with the two safeties again. Because they're going to have to be back there, and they're going to have to be wide awake. Because I imagine there's going to be a lot of balls in the air down that way.
So I wanted to go with Derrick Henry because, well, the Texans' run defense is terrible, and the Texans' run defense is terrible, and this is Derrick's game to explode. But you know what? Floyd took mine with Derrick Henry, so I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill on offense today as my pick to click.
Are you serious?
He went with Derrick Henry.
Oh, man.
I mean, if you can pick Derrick Henry, I can pick Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill having the best season ever in his career, so I'm going to go with Tannehill. On defense, and this was a tough one for me, but I'm going to go with Jayon Brown. And I think the reason I'm going to go with Jayon Brown is because I think Jayon is going to have a lot of different assignments today, whether it's David Johnson out of the backfield, whether it's Deshaun maybe as the spy. I feel like he would probably run the best with Deshaun Watson. And let's not forget that they've got Fells, the tight end, who, again, I feel as if maybe we'll see Jayon Brown matched up on some today. So I'm going to go with Jayon Brown as my defensive pick to click. And by the way, I think we should get 2 points if they get one of Floyd's game balls, and 1 point if they do something, and 0 points if they played okay but they didn't do anything noticeable, like Byard last week. And I love Byard. No knock on Byard, but just saying. He didn't do anything noticeable last week.
Okay.
Floyd, your thoughts?
Okay.
Well, my thoughts?
Right, we're making up rules as we go along here.
He picks Tannehill every week.
No, I don't. I feel as if it's the right call. I was going to pick Derrick Henry. He picked Derrick Henry. There cannot be a more obvious pick to click than Derrick Henry in today's game. I've already said if Derrick doesn't run for 120 today, I think I'm going to be a little concerned. Because this Texan defense gives up 160 yards a game on the ground.
Totally different team, though, as opposed to the week before until now. Totally, totally different team. You're going to see a totally different Texan team going on later on today.
Why?
Just the attitude's different. I mean, when you change your attitude and not make it about you and make it about the team, and you get a person that doesn't fit your organization well out, all of a sudden the attitudes change, you start winning games, and now the whole morale changes.
Chris, do you agree? I mean, Floyd, do you agree with Chris about a different Texans team today?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think they want to be different. You know, I think the question is, are the Titans going to let them be different? And I think what, generally speaking, what needs to happen is what Chris is always saying, which is, you know, they're going to want to pull out and say, okay, this team is going to be different. We need to hit them right in the mouth and knock them back and say, no, 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 you're the same team that you've been. And let them play with that for a while. Because if they want to come out and they want to show you they're different and we allow them to be different, they will be different. I mean, they'll go ahead and play. But if you start to get out of that hole and somebody kicks you in the face, you go right back in the hole.
I love the imagery, Floyd. But it's true.
The question I have for Chris Sanders is, how many times in your career did you feel like, you know, we all remember the early Titan teams, but maybe before that, did you feel like you were on a team like this Texans team where you felt like you were better than your record, but then you just got kicked in the face and all of a sudden it was like, oh, here we go again.
Shoot, my first 4 years, first 3 years. I mean, we're 5 and something.
The general manager of that team didn't put together a great team.
No, he put together a great team. Then we were 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, and we were right on the cuff. But there were some games when I played Pittsburgh, I'm like, man, when is this game over? I mean, I'm like, man, they get hit in the mouth, get knocked out. So I'm like, man, you know, we're 5-10. Let's just get up out of here. I mean, so there you go.
Floyd?
Oh.
Does this Titans team, if they win today, to start 5-0, what would that mean?
What would it mean?
Mm-hmm. Would it mean that we're looking at a special team?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think then you're going, you know, then you start playing some of the hard games, you know, because you got the Steelers next week, and then in the next 3 or 4 weeks, you've got like Steelers, Baltimore. I can't remember the rest of them. But
Browns?
Some pretty good teams.
I think it's Steelers, Bengals, Indy. No, Steelers, Bengals, Baltimore, Indy, I believe.
There we go. So you would know in the next 4 weeks.
Chris?
Say that again?
5-0 today means what to you?
Oh, I mean, it's huge. We always talk about a team having momentum because just like what Floyd just said, is we got some tough teams coming up. I mean, we got Pittsburgh, we got Baltimore, we got the Browns. So if they can go 5-0 and create this momentum, now you're going to these tough games and you start believing that you can win every single game. So I think that's the key if they go 5-0. But if they lose this one and start losing more games, then now that doubt starts to creep in and say, oh, we're a really good team.
Coming up next, Mike Vrabel has his keys to the game for a Titans victory today over the Texans. We'll go over his keys next. And, of course, as we always do on this show, we will make our game day picks, who wins today and why. That is all coming up on the pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown. It's ESPN 102.5, the game. Titans and Texans getting set to battle here at the top of the hour at Nissan Stadium, live from the Corner Pub downtown. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5, the game, taking you to 11:30. And then, of course, we'll have a full day of reaction tomorrow. Jared and the GM at 2 o'clock. We'll have Titans Monday, finally, for the first time on a Monday since September. Chris Sanders, yes, Floyd Reese, Jared Stillman. It's time now for Mike Vrabel's keys to the game, keys to a Titans victory. We start on the defensive side of the ball for the Titans, which starts with the Titans getting off the field on third down.
And defensively, obviously, taking care of and being able to find ways to affect Deshaun, as talented a quarterback as he is. You know, but it's third down. You know, it's getting off the field and not allowing extended drives. I mean, just ridiculous numbers last week, 15 plays, 17 plays. I mean, that's unheard of. So, you know, you do a lot of things that are better than the week before, and then, you know, third down kind of mars that and muddies it a little bit. So, you know, starting to just try to put some things together, and that would be a key there for us.
Floyd, clearly Vrabel not happy with their third down performance. How worried are we about that today, and how big of a key is it, especially early on, to get off the field on third down?
I mean, it's always a key. You know, third down is a giant down. We all know that. My problem, and the, you know, I don't see the solution. And that's the scary part, you know. So I see more of what we've seen in the past. And I know as a defensive guy, you hate, you know, a 12-play drive. You hate converting three or four first downs. You hate all of that. I mean, that's not part of your DNA. But we've also been in games where we've gotten impatient and tried to blitz and tried to do some things to affect them on third down and had a receiver run by us. So, and that is absolutely the worst thing that can happen. So if my choice is between those two, I'll let them convert a couple of third downs, prevent them from getting the ball downfield.
You know, I think it's key that we got to stop them on third down, because just like what Vrabel said, is you're going to have extended drives. And when you have extended drives, you're going to have a tired defense. And when you have a tired defense and you have a step slow, and then all of a sudden you have those receivers that are running 4-3 and you're tired.
I mean, good luck.
You get luck. Even if you take seven steps back and you're tired, and then you got Fuller and you got Steels and you got Cobb, those guys coming at you with that full speed and you're tired. Nuh-uh. That's why it's key to make sure we get off on third down, because if we don't get off on third down, you're going to have a tired defense. And just like I said before, you're going to have those extended drives. It's going to make that defense really, really tired.
Mike Vrabel, second key to the game. Floyd, right up your alley, special teams.
Well, special teams-wise, I think it comes down to this is a good group, this is a good unit, and I think, you know, when we were operating at our best last year and playing our best football, you know, we played well in all three phases, but what it boiled down to was that we played with some confidence, and then we built momentum through the week, and we carried the confidence over and continue to build the momentum. And you know, hopefully we can do that from a special teams unit, which would be winning one-on-one. You know, we blocked better, and using those techniques and details that we get, that would be something that would be critical, trying to create some field position. You know, our drive starts at the 30. You know, our opponents at the 25. That's a positive. That's attributed to, you know, not only the turnovers but the special teams.
Chris?
Yes.
How big is special teams today for what? All of the reasons Mike Vrabel just mentioned.
I mean, I think the one thing that stands out to me is when he said field position. I mean, if you look at when last week when they played against the Bills and Raymond had that big, you know, kickoff return, a punt return, then now it takes the pressure off of Tannehill and it takes the pressure off that offense to have a long drive and score points. So I think it can be huge. And then the second thing is, you know, look at the weapon that the Tennessee Titans have in Kern. I mean, that is huge. Everybody looks, oh, he's just a punter. No, when you kick the ball and you down it at the two-yard line, it puts pressure on that Buffalo. Last week it put pressure on the Buffalo Bills because they had to go 97, 98 yards, and that created an interception for Butler. So it just shows you why special teams are so important, because of field position and putting the offense or defense in a good position to make plays.
Floyd, special teams today, how big is it knowing the Texans' problems specifically defensively?
Well, I think we saw what field position did for us last week. You know, both when it came to red zone efficiency, when it came to, you know, the score, final score of the game, what the offense was able to do and not do. I mean, a lot of that is directly related to special teams. And no part of the game has a more dramatic effect on field position than special teams. And so when you're talking about good field position, bad field position, you can probably at some point in time look back and point, you know, bad field position to a penalty on a kick return or a penalty on a punt return. Or your punter just dropping the ball inside the five. Or, I mean, they are all almost always directly related to something done in the special team. So for us to maintain the outstanding field position that we had last week, I mean, we're going to have to play. We're going to have to do something not spectacular, but something really smart, effective on special teams.
And our final key from Mike Vrabel, red zone production on offense.
Offensively, I mean, I think we have to find, that same message in the red zone. That's something that's critical.
I would agree. I think 6-for-6 would be very, very nice today against the Texans. Okay, time for game day picks. Chris Sanders is in first place, 4-0. He's picked the Titans 4 times this year. The Titans have taken care of business. The GM, 3-1, picked the Bills last week. And yours truly in last place at 2-2 after having picked the Vikings and Buffalo to blow out the Titans. Chris, we start with you. Who wins today? Why?
I hate to say this. I'm going with the Texans 24-20.
What?
I love you, Jared, but I just think that the Texans are a dangerous team, and they have a new attitude. Maybe that song, I got a new attitude. I ain't gonna sing, but that's what it is. They have a new attitude. They got not a new coach, but a new guy that's in charge that's making the game fun. I just think that this is a dangerous team.
I am speechless at Chris Sanders picking against the Titans.
It's just something about this game.
That's like Chase McCabe picking against the Titans. You don't see that very often.
I just think that it's one of those games where I know that we're the better team, but they got more explosive guys than we do.
GM, who wins today and why?
I'm going to go with the Titans 27-16. And I think it's primarily because of the fact that they're going to go out there and do the things that were effective for them last week, or try to do those things, and those things will be good enough to get them over the hump.
I'm going to go with the Titans, too. I'll go 31-17. I think it'll be close, but Tannehill will push it away in the end. Chris Sanders picking the Texans. I can't believe it.
Whoa. Floyd, he picked the Bills last week.
Exactly. And you. I'll say this. You don't do the easy ones.
No, you do not. I mean, I will say that. We will be back next week, next Sunday, for the pregame show before Titans and Steelers. We will see you then. Jared and the GM starts tomorrow at 2 o'clock. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game.